The Garnet Wager is a show where two players compete in a fantasy-style competition while watching episodes of The Genius. Their drafted fantasy genius contestants earn or lose points through their actions, leading to an ultimate victor at the end of the season. But points don't tell the whole story. You never know when some fantasy garnets will turn the tables. Listeners are invited to play Fantasy Genius as well, through rules and criteria provided via links in the show notes. May you chase those ugly victories and beautiful defeats, even from the safety of your home. This is the Garnet Wager. Begin.
Hello, friends and folks, and folks.
Friends and folks, get a joke.
Okay, I'm keeping this one. This one's garbage, so obviously it has to be kept. If it's just bad, then I will redo it. But if it's garbage, then it's a keeper. Welcome to the Garnet Wager. This is a podcast where we discuss the song "Smooth," which is a collaboration between Santana and Rob Thomas, the lead singer of Matchbox 20. I'm Six Detmar,
and I'm wondering what happened to the first 19 Matchboxes. Follow the money.
Well, I mean, you know, you used to light cigarettes. When I used to smoke, Alan.
Uh-huh. That's my name, by the way.
I always preferred cigarettes lit with matches as opposed to with a lighter.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now tell me more.
There was something about it. It felt a lot more satisfying.
I don't think I've ever seen a cigarette lit with a match before.
That's nice. It's nice.
Does it smoke differently?
No. I mean, it's just like, I feel like it lights a little different. It's more of a, like, I feel like a lot of people's experience of cigarettes is about this, like, the ritual and the ceremony of it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you get a lot of people who, like, who when they quit, they're like, oh, I quit smoking, and normally it's not that hard, but whenever I have, like, coffee, it's really hard, because I always used to smoke when I had a coffee or whatever,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I really feel like a large part of that is just that psychological tie there, and for me, there was just this element of, like, I don't know, I don't like lighters very much. Mm-hmm. I just don't find them enjoyable to use. I've had a lot of shitty lighters over the years that you really had to fuck with to get them to do their jobs. And matches just have, like, a real crispness to them that it was just like, this is nice. This is, you know, you snap it and then you light the end and you wave out the match. And I don't know. It was nice.
You know what else is nice, Six?
Smooth by Santana?
Yes. Do you know what else is nice, though? Donkey Kong. We are here to discuss the Korean game show The Genius, folks, not just cigarettes and Donkey Kong, which is the name of my autobiography. This week we watched season 3, episode.
Sorry, please continue.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, that's the song. We watched season 3, episode 6 of The Genius. I believe this game was called, like, Stormy Stock Exchange.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Stormy Stock Market, I believe, yes.
Yeah, Stormy Stock Market. Good name. It rolls off the tongue really well. I like that.
It's just like the ocean under the moon.
All right, looks up in the lyrics to Smooth so that I can also play along with this bit with my friend.
Do you think I need to look up the lyrics to Smooth?
No, I do. So I can play with you.
Okay.
Man, it is a hot one. 7 inches from the midday sun. You should have started with Hello, Friends and Folks. Man, it's a hot one. please, we have a good episode to discuss this week. We always talk about, like, oh, the episode was bad, so who cares? It's like, no, this one was sick. Stormy.
You're just saying that because your boys ruled.
Yes. No. This game is really fun. I loved this game. Oh, you hated it. Oh, no.
This was an interesting game.
Yeah.
This was an interesting game.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
So, Stormy Stock Market is a game where basically there is, you know, a stock market, and the players get different tips as to how stocks are going to move, and they share that information and, you know, buy and trade in order to, you know, make basically monopoly money,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was definitely an like, it quickly became a game of information monopolization and then a little bit of timing. And I guess the thing, if I had a beef with this game, it's not really with the rules of the game. It's the way people played it.
So what you're saying is you don't like the waiting in the waiting room thing?
No, what I don't like is, there were parts where that kind of annoyed me, but what I didn't like was just the fact that everyone was like, oh, I guess we'll just all share everything with everyone. And it's like, okay, well, now you lose.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is if everyone shares the information, then the smartest person there is going to win, period.
Yes.
It's like, okay, well, that's Hyunmin.
Bam, it happened exactly as expected, right.
And also, like, I guess everyone else didn't realize how ride or die Hyunmin and Dongmin were, but that also was like, oh, these two are just, like, so completely working together that nobody has a chance. I guess that's the thing that bothered me the most, is it felt like no one ever really approached them. There was like, a hot, like, 5 minutes there where you're like, Yu Hyun could do it! This little engine that could is gonna... Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
So that's my beef, is just it felt like a stomp, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's such an interesting stomp because it has them sort of rounding up so many of the other players and promising them things and then just being like, no, but like I'm gonna win. Like and again, it's always important to remember what the Bandage person says at the beginning of like what kind of game they think it is. And the Bandage man says like this is a single player game. You are playing for yourself. You don't have to make any alliances if you don't want to. If you do, that can help you in these explicit ways. We set up this scenario so that there's timing for a reason. Because if there wasn't timing, like if you could spend, you know, 5 minutes in the booth, in the auction booth, and you didn't have to line up and your position didn't matter and the time when things updated was only like every 30 minutes or something, that would get rid of so much of what's interesting about the game, but because there's so much that the players have control over, it feels like manipulating that and watching that get manipulated is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeon-sung, by the way, manipulates his hair this episode, as does Jung-hoon. One of them looks delightful. Yeon-sung looks adorable with this shorter haircut. Or I guess it's just he styled it differently.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily a haircut. Jung-hoon looks like a mess. I'm sorry. He looks like his mom put like pomade in his hair and just like slicked it all to the side. And he was already handsome. Why did you do this? Don't do this to yourself.
He's not on either of our teams. I gave him amazing outfit, and I think that's accurate because amazing doesn't have to mean good.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What he did was amazing.
Yeah.
But it was kind of like amazing, like watching someone fall down a set of stairs.
So when you, are you referring to the outfit or the hair in this case?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I thought.
There was a synergy there. Uh-huh. There was a combination there where it was like, buddy, you seem like a boss from the first 30 minutes of a Yakuza game.
Yo, and then they talk about, and they totally bring that up. There, what's the movie? The movie that they reference, or the TV show, where they're like, "Oh, everybody here's bringing like good outfits and good hair. You all look like you're part of this like famous 90s Korean drama that we've all watched and know the reference."
Yeah, Rustic Period.
Rustic Period. Yes, and I had to like look up and read about it, and then I sent you a screenshot of like the cast of Rustic Period, and I like before you watched the episode, I was like, "Remember this image." Because they totally like Yakuza characters is exactly right. They just look about like a bunch of handsome lads with hats. I would say I would hope that you gave Yeonju a fantastic outfit, because I feel like her sort of button up skirt combo is a powerful look.
I actually didn't. It didn't stand out to me. Maybe looking back I could do that. I can say that would not upset this episode's ranking, so I can look into that.
Okay. Yeah, at least for the like final end of the season rankings. We really want to make sure I have the points that I deserve.
And also, I just want to make sure that people are getting the credit they deserve, you know? Like, I mean,
oh, yeah.
I'm giving check marks for people who aren't on our team, mm-hmm. right? Because it's like, no, it's important that these people get tracked. I maybe am a little less attentive, though, so if you are tracking at home, there's possibility you're picking up things I'm not for, you know, like, Jung Bum, because I'm just not paying as much attention.
I want to pay more attention to him. He's doing things. During the actual game, he mostly, like, listens to Hyunmin and does what he's told, and I appreciate that because it means that I get points, but, like, mm-hmm. I don't know. He's around. and his performance in the DM was pretty solid, to be honest with you. It was a weird one. But yeah, so everybody comes in with the fun outfits and the new hair, and there was a good moment early on where, like, the dealers walk in. I love that they make a bigger deal now out of the dealers coming into the room. Because Dongmin's like, hey, it's my friend. It's everybody's favorite dealer friend. And she just blinks at him. And he's like, my friend? My friend. Oh, okay. This is a business relationship. I apologize for being inappropriate. And I thought that was really cute. Because she has two fantastic moments. And I'm assuming you gave yourself the good dealer moment when Shina Young is like, I'm sick. Achoo. Cough, cough, cough.
And she just starts losing it.
Yeah, like 5 seconds of silence, and then the dealer just cracks in half like a walnut. it's so relatable because there's nothing inherently funny. It's just like the awkwardness of the moment, like whoop, it just like hit you all at once.
Well, and also, I mean, for Dongmin's reputation for being the comedian here,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Ah Young is a fucking funny person. She's just funny because she just, like, she's one of those people who, like, it seems like anything that happens to her, she can laugh about. And not like, oh, she can laugh when times are bad. Like, she can, like, drop her pen and start laughing. And yeah. It's just, like, there's something about that that's really disarming.
Yeah, she has a really, like, cool, positive energy that is always entertaining. Even when she's just like, I'm sick today. And it's just like, oh, well, you're doing your best, and that's what matters. Like, great job.
I think at this point she might, her and Hyunmin are my favorite members of the cast.
Yeah. She definitely brings the most enjoyment, but I think Yeonsung is like my favorite. Like, I want to see him do well. I think he's slowly sliding into the role of Kyung Hyun from last season. I remembered a name six. How proud of me are you right now?
Yeah, that was a good work.
In that he's the one who are like, you can do better. Like, I know you can, but you just keep falling into the dirt and sitting there, and then you're like, I guess this is dirt now. This is where I live. He's not very ambitious, is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so Hyunmin and Dongmin from the beginning are like, we're going to the finals. Trunks versus Vegeta. Let's go. We're going to go to the World Martial Arts Tournament together. High five. And then that's like the cold open ending. It's weird.
Let's give the genius editing crew a round of applause, and it's in a way where it's like, you stopped fucking up, so it's kind of sarcastic, but it's also not sarcastic, right?
Uh-huh.
Because you see that moment where, and they're framing it, like, they're like, how far do you want to take this? And the music starts to swell, and you're like, okay, and we're gonna find out halfway through the episode, right? You're gonna fade here, and then, you know, like, at the credit break, you'll reveal it or whatever. And no. They just do it. They just actually pay it off, and it's way better that way.
It's
maybe we're finally gonna stop having these dumb fucking, like, you know, somebody goes to the hospital moments.
It's a perfect description of them. Yeah, it's not even a huge deal. It's like, yeah, these two guys want to do well, and they want to go against each other. That's it. I'm not gonna tease that out. That's what we said, and that's what we mean.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of the two boys, we're gonna talk about them a lot. They, like you said, they kind of dominate this episode, but they have another good moment early on when they're starting their alliance and they're in the auction room together, and Dongmin has like really bad handwriting, and he says like, oh, I've always had bad handwriting, and he's very much like in his work trying to write and pay attention, but Hyunmin is just like having a good time, and he's like, wow, you know you've always written like that. I mean, they say good looking people have good handwriting. And then Dongmin does not say anything at all. And then Hyunmin is like, I love you, Hyung. And then Dongmin is like, sure. which is like a very, very accurate depiction of me trying to flirt. That's like, hey, you're dumb. What? No, I'm sorry. Oh, geez, I think you're cool. Okay. Oh, we're out of time? Shit. It's so bad.
How bad is your handwriting, Alan?
When I first graduated from college, my handwriting deteriorated a lot because you don't have to write a lot in college. But when I started taking classes again, I also started like physically writing again. So my handwriting got back to it. Like it's legible. It's still not amazing, but it's like fine.
Mm.
What about yours?
Yeah, my handwriting is pretty much legible. Especially in like high school and stuff, I was just writing notebook after notebook to myself because I was trying to do a lot of fiction back then, right?
Yeah.
But like my handwriting has never really wavered in its quality. And that quality is, let me see, like, there was a job I had, like, 6 years ago, maybe seven, where I posted, like a, oh, hey, I have these shifts up for offer, right?
Uh-huh.
And I forgot to sign it, and a coworker who was a friend walked out of the back holding it and says, so who has the sociopath handwriting?
Oh,
and I was like, okay, well, cool. I feel like I never had the patience to try and make things look nice. I wanted to get the idea across, and that's the only thing I gave any kind of shit about.
I see.
And so my handwriting is legible, but very messy.
Very messy. It's just like the ocean under the moon. Huge mess, honestly. But honestly, I will say those things as my co-host, it's the same as the emotion that I get from you, is when we talk about this kind of stuff.
You know, give me your heart, make it real, or else forget about it.
I will. Speaking of writing, Jung Boom, when they talk about this being a stocks game, I love like when they're describing it being a stocks game, you get like a bunch of shots of people being like, oh man, stocks, shit, stocks. And Dongmin's like, no, the thing that ruined my life, not my worst enemy. And everyone's like, when people start doing badly, they're like, man, this sucks. I feel like I'm falling apart. And he's like, you know what falling apart is? I'll tell you what falling apart. Falling apart is losing three buildings the size of this building to a bad investment. And it's just like, are you having an okay time, Dongmin? Do you need like someone to talk to? Like, it sounds like this is personal for you. And then Jungwoon's response. Yeah, go ahead.
Imagine if Songmin, I know, but like this time, no, seriously, folks, imagine if Songmin had been here for this and like they're just like stalks and he just like starts screaming and runs out of the building.
He rips his shirt off. It's just crying in the corner. And they're like, the episode hasn't started yet. He's like, I'm done. No, I'm done. I'm eliminated. Wow. Bummer. Jung Boom says, I haven't done stocks, but I debuted with a comic about stocks that nobody read. It's like, no fucking duh. Why am I going to read a comic book about stocks? You Cooper. That's the first he says that. He says, I debuted with a comic about stocks and nobody read it. Like, dude.
Young Sung read it.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, yeah.
I remember that.
What a nice boy.
Oh,
maybe he didn't actually read it, but it was at least, if he didn't, it was nice of him to pretend.
To say it. Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh.
At this point, we basically get into the game itself, the stock game. There are a bunch of companies. Do you have anywhere the name of all the companies? Because I only remember Bankruptcy Bank because that's relatable.
I don't have them written down, but I do basically remember. And obviously these are all translations.
Yeah.
There is Stone Electronics.
Yep.
There is Death Life Insurance.
Good.
There is like Disaster Earthquake. I assume again insurance. There is like Disruption Telecom,
yep.
I think it is.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean they're all that style of goof, right?
Yeah. Like good bad, bad good.
And again, it's very you pointed out previously numerous times, but like this is like the genius is taking shots, I guess. Like hey, insurance companies blow me.
Yeah. Suck one of these. Yeah, I it's every time they do a game that you can try yourself in real life, the sort of simulated, the non-simulated version of it, it lines up really well. Like you in real life shouldn't spread your stocks into everything. You shouldn't buy into everything. You just buy low and sell high and do nothing else. You don't get greedy. You don't go all in on one single thing. You make a small spread, and you buy the right things and you stay there. Or you're Dongmin and you buy everything just so that no one else can buy it.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, this game is insider trading.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So I guess that's the other thing, which is sort of like this idea that like insider trading is one of those things, right? That in our world you hear every now and then about people getting convicted for it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like, you know, we can basically all like, if you use just a little bit of logic, it's like, well, probably a lot of people do this and just never get caught. Probably this is the way how a lot of people who work the stock market make money, because you only ever hear about the people who get caught. No one, like, you know, you never hear about the crimes that aren't reported.
Exactly. Yeah. It's way more common because it's not, you don't have to do something explicitly illegal to end up realizing like, oh, whoops, I am insider trading. Because that's, you're even doing that if you like know somebody who's in the stock market and you talk to them mm-hmm. about stocks and they just bring up like that they bought something. That's already, you've already done insider trading. So yeah.
Yeah, the stipulations for insider trading are really weird. And there's also this like catch 22 of information, right? Which is like, I mean, like one of the problems with the idea of insider trading, and you know, we're not going to go too deep on the ethics, sure, but it's like, okay, you own 50 stocks of Intel, right?
Right.
And you're like, and like your friend at Intel is like, oh man, next week we're going to have to report that our earnings are down by 50 million. And it's like, okay, so if you sold, that would be insider trading. Does that mean you just have to take the loss? What if you would have naturally sold your stock anyway?
Yeah, what are, like, maybe you just got, you made a smart decision. That's not legal. It rears its ugly head, this idea that you can break the stock market by dominating it and controlling it using like your information, because Shina Young is like playing really well and doing her best, but she comes into the like chaotic mess that is everybody else's plays, and it's her turn to buy, and she's like, all right, I got this, like, and she says like, I am playing this the way like a small private business owner would play stocks. Which is like, I'm going to go in there and I'm not going to know anybody else who's like a big shot. I'm going to try to buy stuff. And then she gets in the room and they're like, there are no stocks for you to buy. And she's like, I'm going to turn around and leave now. And I'm going to waste a round because everybody is doing their own bullshit and I can't play a normal game. It just happens like that. It's kind of unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
She has no shot because she doesn't have any allies. Like, she doesn't have anybody to give her more than like the basic level of information.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, meanwhile, Hyunmin is, like, just cavorting around with mountains of information, and it has, like, the entire board, and has, you know, Jung-boom, Jung-hoon, Dong-min, and Yun-sung all working for him, and being like, I will give you one piece of info if you give me this one thing. And, you know, he's just sweating, running back and forth, like, crushing it every time he goes into the room and buying the right thing.
At one point, like, at a few points, he's coming to people and being like, hey, like, I'll give you six pieces of information for six pieces of your information. Mm-hmm. And they're like, okay. And he gives them six pieces of information. They're like, okay, now it's my turn. He's like, okay, I'm kidding. I don't actually need your information. I know literally everything.
I have all the info. Yeah, he does say that. I think it was with, I think it was, I can't remember who it was. But yeah, at some point, he's like setting up a good play. I think it was with Yeonju, but he's like, all right, and then I'll give you this. And he gives her the thing, and she's like, all right, so now our trade is halfway done. He's like, no, we're done. I'm leaving now. She's like, wait, what? Yeah. She's just left in the dust. It's remarkable. I think it's at this point also that we get the emo text of the week, which is Stock Freaks, which is also just a better name for the game. Why didn't you call it Stock Freaks? It's my favorite PS2 game.
That's the problem, is Stock Freaks would be way more, there'd be more like, the cover of Stock Freaks is like, the art is definitely like big head mode, and they're like, you know, like big, like gnarled hands reaching at each other. Stock Freaks is like a kart racer / stock market game.
Freaks with a Z, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
And then at this point we get the break, and they reveal, because what I'm thinking this whole time is like, okay, every time the clock strikes like the point where it switches, it's every like 20 or 30 minutes, whatever, two things change. One goes up, one goes down, two go down, two go up, you know? And I'm like, what happens if everything goes in one direction? Like, at some point we have to get one of those. Right. And in round two we do. We get 240. Is the time that people are predicting is going to be the big one. So the being aware of that, the showrunners put in a little Black Garnet information auction in the middle of the episode, which I thought was a really cool idea, because it's an auction. It's supposed to be like each player auctioning their garnets for, you know, all of this information. And they even say, like, the nature of this info is different from the stuff you've seen in the rest of the game. It's not like this one will go up by this much. It's, like, more specific than that.
Mm-hmm.
And Hyunmin is like, I have an entire, like, gang of three people to give garnets for this info. And I'll give it to all of them, but, like, I'm also going to take it. And I'm going to use it to break round two by just, like, timing it out so that I can buy and sell everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Full orchestration. And
he has just no hesitation.
Yeah.
Yu Hyun is working to undermine him and is working with Yeonju and Ah Young, but he's just barely reserved enough that they don't, like, in the end, he doesn't get it because they don't trust him.
Right. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So the auction basically goes as expected. He ends up buying it for, I think, like 13 garnets, which is quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Are those just gone?
Yes.
That's wild. So do I lose those 13, but even though they're not from me, technically?
No, the way the rules work this season is that you never lose garnets for your players losing garnets.
Okay. That makes more sense.
You only gain... Because otherwise that just wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. And garnets are being spent left and right, but if we're not spending them, then, you know, 1 week we have, like, 15, and then the other we have 2 because we didn't anticipate all of our players, like, selling their garnets or whatever.
Right, right.
So with this full orchestration in place, the play has begun, and Dongmin goes into the room and buys everything. The whole game. He says, I will buy, because you can buy up to 7 of each company, and he says, I will take 7 of each company. Mm-hmm. It's wild, because then everybody walks in and is like, wait, what? Can I buy this? And they're like, no, there's nothing left to buy. He just owns the whole game. Hyunmin gave him that power to do that. He says, like, when this one goes down, this one's going to go up, buy this and this and this. Bada bing, bada bam, look, we won the game. And everyone is just awestruck. I'm awestruck. Yu Hyun is like, I'm going to walk to the back of the line because there's no more hope. He's, like, so crestfallen at this realization that, like, he's being played. And no matter how good he is, and he's very good, this is just not his game to win anymore. So he's trying to collect his losses.
I think a correction, there are up to 15 stocks of everything, but I think Hyunmin also helps clean them out, and what, you know, however it works out.
You're right. Them combined buy all of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for the correction. And then they do it. They very proudly just sweep the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. Were there any other moments during the main match that you were, like, really into?
I mean, I guess one of the things that sort of surprised me, I guess, is Dongmin had that moment last episode, right, where he was like, Yeonsung rejected my offer. I'm going to end him.
Right. And then they're just in a room together and they don't...
Yeah, it's just fine. He doesn't do anything. This whole episode, he doesn't mess with Yeonsung at all, at least not on camera. Or at least not in the edit, I suppose I should say.
Yeah, well, I think I would imagine that it was also like, I don't plan to ally with him, even if he asks now. Like, taking somebody out doesn't necessarily mean, like, actively aggressing against them. It can just mean, like, I will leave you with no... I will see you at the bottom of the cliff and provide you no ladder kind of thing.
Yeah, his ally does, though.
That's true. He's not telling Hyunmin not to.
Yeah. Or maybe Hyunmin just isn't listening. I don't know. But right. It seems like Hyunmin would probably listen.
There is a weird, intense moment. I can't remember where this was, but someone was like, I think Hyunmin was like, oh, I'm going to give this information to Dongmin and a third person. And then Dongmin's like, you should only give it to me. And they're like, no, I want to give it to 3 people. And he's like, I'd recommend you only give it to me and no one else. And it's, like, very intense. And I wish I could remember the context of that. But yeah.
Yeah, there's been an interesting push and pull with this relationship where like, I mean, there was also the thing previously where Hyunmin was like, hey, you remember when it was like, oh, if this goes this way, then Yu Hyun is gonna, or no, sorry, not Yu Hyun. There was that moment where as the game was winding down last episode, Hyunmin was like, hey, we gotta pull some things around so that I can save Jung-hoon, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I feel really bad that Jung-hoon's on my team and he's gonna get, you know, hung out to dry. And Dong-min got super intense about, like, listen, I have given you everything. You will do what I told you to do. And you're not adding anyone to this plan. It's way too late for that.
Yeah. We're not making this a three-person plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the moment I was thinking of, right?
Yeah. At that point, it was already, like, a four-person plan because Dong-min was trying to keep his two allies alive. And he's like, those two, Soo-jin and Ah-young, fucking gave you everything. You cannot turn on us now. I will end you. And Dong-min really has this vengeful side, and I like, it seems like usually he's like justified, right? He's being like, no, you will hold up your end of the bargain or I will burn you. But it's kind of intense to see it come out.
It is. The thing that's putting Dong-min ahead of Hyunmin in terms of like people I think are going to win the season is that Dong-min is so ruthless. And like, I always say in the past, like, that's not going to sustain you for that long, but it seems to be working. It seems to be sustaining him just fine.
Well, and he's ruthless to the people, like, he draws really hard lines, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Of like, here's who's in, here's who's out. And if you're out, you are out. But if you're in, you're in. Right? Like, mm-hmm. If he says he's helped you, he doesn't turn on you as long as you're holding up your end of the deal.
Pretty much.
So I think that like hardline stance is serving him really well.
Exactly. So that's what I mean is like, Yamin has the plays and knows how to tell people that he's doing well, but like technically he's not nice of an ally as Dong-min is. Dong-min is like, once you're on my side, you're on my side, and everyone else can get the fuck out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting dichotomy. I'm wondering, like, which one of them is gonna come out lasting longer as a result of
it. It feels like Hyunmin, on the other hand, has, like, he enjoys being on top, he enjoys making the big plays and being the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
And then, like, his conscience kicks in at the last minute.
Right, exactly.
And as far as a, you know, if I was going to count on one of them to go down, at least once they're in the finale, if they're both in the finale, that doesn't matter anymore, right? Because it's just two of them left at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't make it, it's going to be Hyunmin that doesn't make it because of that.
It's potential. This is all theory, though.
Mm-hmm.
So, they win the whole game with flying colors. And I believe it's Jung-hoon who's sent to the DM, and he chooses to take Jung-bum with him after mm-hmm. much deliberation. I feel like that deliberation part went on a little bit long. I was just like, all right, we know, like, there's nobody here who fucked you over or who deserves it, so you're just going to pick, like, the one person who you have to pick now.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the DM.
One thing I keep meaning to mention, this was brought up to me because I remember one of the things we initially talked about as far as DMs this season was, like, they're doing this thing where they have the envelope and they lock it behind bars, and it's like, what's that about?
Yeah,
right?
Did someone answer, or did you figure it out?
Yeah, no, someone answered.
Oh, boss.
So basically, the deal is that there were a lot of accusations in season 1 and 2 that they were tailoring the DM to whoever was sent to the DM.
Oh.
That they were being like, oh, with these two, they should play this. And they were like, no, we aren't. The DM is the DM, and we're going to prove it because it's going to be on camera the whole damn time.
Oh. So they really do seem committed to, like, proving that nothing is scripted, nothing is planned. We're letting the game play out randomly. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting.
And I can appreciate, I mean, like, honestly, I wouldn't. I guess the problem with having the DM be, like, specific to the pairs, I think that's probably a good idea as far as creating an entertaining DM, but it does probably inherently have, like, play to someone's strengths, so I can see why they would not want to do that.
Yes. Yeah. Or seem like it's playing to someone's strengths.
Right. So what did we play? What did they... Oh, wait. We got homework first.
Yeah, homework. Six, I hear you whisper in the words mouth, everyone. But you stay so cool.
You know, I always stay so cool because I eat ice cream sandwiches.
Because you're my muñequita, my Spanish Harlem Mona Lisa. You're my reason for reason, the step in my groove. Anyways.
Is it step in my groove? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell what he says at that point. Thank you.
You're welcome. This week we did Alan's homework, which was we watched Digimon Tamers, which is the third season of the Digimon anime. It was an interesting series. It aired in the 2000s. Let's get some actual numbers and names out there so I can sound like an adult who knows what they're talking about. 2001 is when the movie came out there. And then, yeah, April 2001 was when the anime started.
2001, huh?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned to me that it seemed very 90s.
Yeah, I would have guessed 1993. Maybe 94.
Wow. I mean, I think visually, yeah, it's got like an old style of look, but the animation is very like fluid in a way that seems, you know, of the 2000s and not the 90s.
Yeah?
Yes.
I mean, okay, like, we're walking into the room, right? We're walking into this building, right?
Yeah.
And it's like a fight club, right? Uh-huh. Not like the movie, but like a place where people can, like, you know, do a little pun. And this is me, like taking off, like, I've got a knife and I'm putting it down and I'm taking off my gun belt. Like, I'm taking all the weapons off. There's no hard feelings. But now that all my weapons are off, I'm going to give everything I got. This show sucks in basically every way.
Whoa! Alright. Alright.
It's so bad.
So let's start by talking about where this show is coming from before we slam dunk on how fucking dumb it is. Because okay. I will acknowledge that it's very dumb. This show was written by Chiaki Konaka, who, if you're an anime weeb, you will recognize as having also written Serial Experiments Lane, which is like a very deeply, deeply weird, I think it's like a horror series from the late 90s.
It's definitely very psychological. It's at times horror, but it's also just kind of like surrealist and weird and yeah.
Right. And so that becomes more clear as the show goes on. But right now, because I mean, how many episodes did you watch?
I made it through. I survived a single episode.
Okay. So the problem is that when it starts, what it is a response to original Digimon. And everything that's interesting about this beginning arc is like, hey, Digimon is normally like this, and we're going to say screw you to all of that. And we're going to rebuild it from the ground up and tell our own story. And then by the time it settles into its own groove and this crew of kids actually can, you know, talk to each other and realize that they all have, like, this thing in common that should make them friends. And they're not trying to, like, be cool and not talk to each other. It becomes the Serial Experiments Lane of Digimon. Like, it gets extremely weird. But we didn't get there, unfortunately. At least from what we've been discussing. So,
mm-hmm.
We got Takato, we got Henry, or Lee, if you're watching in Japanese, and we've got Rika, I believe is the girl's name, and there are these three kids. They're, I think they're, like, in fifth grade in Japanese, and then they're, like, 12 in English, just for, you know, age sake, and because they sound way older in English, obviously, like everyone always does in dubs of anime. And Takato's the one we mostly focus on. And where I think this is it interestingly sort of breaks from usual Digimon is, like, traditionally Digimon is, like, these kids got sent to the digital world, and over there they use their Digimon, and they have to survive there. And it's this, like, survival story and, like, an isekai kind of thing. And it's, like, they're making friendships with these virtual creatures in a fantasy world. Digimon Tamers is like, no, it's going to go the other way around. And no one's coming to the physical world. They're just going to end up here. They're just going to fall here because of our imagination. Like, Takato draws Gilmon, and then, you know, the powers that be make a card for him because this is the Digimon where they have cards, I guess. It's fucking dumb. The whole Digimodified thing is extremely stupid. He has a card that makes brings Guillemot to life as like a little Tamagotchi egg that then like hatches and becomes his pal. What's cool though is like Guillemot is not immediately a friend. He has to learn to be like the cute anime character that you expect a Digimon to be. He starts out as a fucking monster. Like the first episode or the second episode ends with Guillemot being like jumping on top of Takato in like an abandoned construction site, and Takato's like, shit, I guess I'm dead. Like, I guess the thing I made for like a fun goof is going to maul me to death right now. And then fucking the stupid voice actor who plays the main character from Digimon Season 2, he's the like end of episode narrator. He's like, will Takato fucking die? Find out next time.
It's like, I think he says, beef it.
Is he gonna beef it? Yeah.
That's just...
They're fine talking about death on this show, but this early on, they're still just like, and then he doesn't die. Turns out, yeah, Guillemot learns to be a friend. But then even more stuff like digivolving isn't the biggest deal. It's the modifying stuff that's the big deal. And when they do digivolve, the problem is like, oh shit, it's not like, it's like Pokemon evolving. I don't know how to turn back once I digivolve. I have to figure it out. We have to have Teriyamon stand on his head for like a whole episode before he can revert back to his standard form. What did you not like about it from the first episode?
So first of all, as a person who hasn't seen Digimon before, none of this made any goddamn sense.
Sure, for sure.
Like there was no effort. They just like, and I you know, I'm sure the same thing would happen to a certain extent if I was just to pick up Pokemon in like the Johto series,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like you're just saying Digi over and over, and I don't know what's happening. I have no context for anything. It's just a bunch of nonsense, right?
Yeah.
The voice acting, I listened to the dub because I couldn't find the sub in time.
Uh-huh.
You offered to send it to me. By that point, I was already most of the way through the first episode. The voice acting is atrocious. The voice acting is like picture-perfect example of why I don't listen to dubs.
Uh-huh.
It's so, so, so bad. Like... at points, it is kind of comical how bad it is. A lot of the time, it's just bad how bad it is. But, like,
yeah.
there's, like, a point where, like, there's a shot of a crowd,
yeah,
and, like,
yeah, yeah.
the wind is blowing really hard, and you just hear a lady go, like, ah. And you're like...
why did you
like,
put that
oh,
in?
I guess she's scared.
Right.
Like, this is just, like, it's so bad. I feel like the art looks really bad. Even in this first episode, they like recycle shots a fair bit, which like at the start of a series
yeah.
is a bad sign.
Yeah, I mean that's Digimon, unfortunately.
Yeah, like I mean, I feel like a lot of like these style of shows, at least the first couple of episodes, they use a little budget to get you hooked, and then they start recycling shit. But it's like, oh, here's the same like pan across a still of the classroom twice in 10 seconds.
Yeah, I know that shot you're talking
just,
about.
And it's just like. I don't, like, they don't give me any context for the world. They don't give me a reason to be invested in the characters. The voice acting is so bad. The art looks terrible. The 3D, like, digi stuff when it shows up, of course, because it's an old show, but it's really bad. It's just, like, there's nothing for me to grab onto. Everything is bad.
The difficult thing, though, is because, like, people, you know, anticipated when we announced this homework, like, oh, man, 6 is, like, going to finally get into Digimon. And, like, if I had chosen to have us watch original Season 1 Digimon, you would just have the different problem, which is, like, it's too simple. Like, it's just there's a bunch of kids and they have Digimon and they fall into a world and they like, have adventures. That's it. That's kind of the setup for Season 1. The adventures are interesting and the character stuff is cool and it gets occasionally kind of dark, but there's just nothing to grab onto. And there's so much here, but again, yeah, I guess it just requires you to have a basic understanding because, like, I watched this show as a kid and I remember not having that many problems knowing, understanding. Like, I was able to accept the universe really easily. Like, I think it's, like, 4 episodes in that they're like, no, wait, the Digimon world is, like, a computer game and Henry's playing it and it's, like, a point-and-click. Like, it looks like a Game Boy game graphic-wise, but he points and clicks on it, and it's supposed to be, like, Pokemon, but I don't... Like, they're just very unclear about, like, what is the nature of how they're interacting with them, why they come... Like, it's not even the questions of, like, how did they come to this world? Because that's, you know, for the series to answer. But it's just, like, what are the... like, where do they get these cards? How is this... how does any of this connect to anything? Like, what is the concrete rules of... what are the concrete rules of the world? And none of that's there. When you're a kid, when you're 10 watching this, you're just like, oh, this is sick. I know how Digimon works on a basic level. I don't care about why Rika is, like, considered the Digimon queen or whatever. It's just the fact that someone says that is awesome. It's a very weird series. Mm-hmm. So just to, like, kind of peek into what I remember from watching later episodes of it, after they settle into this whole beginning arc, because what I watched the first 5 episodes, and honestly, I'm probably going to rewatch the whole series. I'm sorry. Because I am so excited for what I know comes later. Like, after these first few episodes of... The problem is that they're just so... they start out so serialized, right? Like, it's just like... mm-hmm. They're doing regular things and trying to raise their Digimon. And then there's a fog appears and a Digimon appears in the real world. Which is bad because... it's like, what's the point of them being in the real world if they're always going to be behind a fog that nobody else can see them in? That completely shatters the illusion of, like, it being in the real world. Once they get past that sort of villain of the week concept, the first major arc is where they have to, like, fight evil Digimon that represent the 12 months of the Chinese calendar, the Zodiac calendar. Is it 12? Mm-hmm. I think it's 12. And they do one episode for each of them. There's no filler. They just knock them all out in several episodes. And then it turns straight up into fucking Evangelion, and they fight a giant, like, pink monster that encompasses all of Tokyo, and they, like... it, like, adopts the voice of Takato's crush and, like, starts talking in her voice and, like, dressing up as her, and it, like, fucking absorbs people in its pink mass of evil. It's... and then they fuse with their Digimon. It's so cool. You don't care. I'm not selling you right now. I don't want to, but I'm just telling you it's cool.
I just want you to imagine my expression as I say, it sounds cool.
Yes. It's so
cool. It's like sarcasm falling off my face like sweat.
You can bottle up this sarcasm and send it to fucking sell it at Whole Foods. I think it's sick. I think the animation is actually very good. I think their proportions are terrible. Like, you're supposed to be 10, but you're drawn like you're 16, but you were just shrunk down. I don't know why they do that. I'm obsessed with their fashion. Like, their shoes, I remember really wanting those, like, weird high-top shoes as a kid. I think Rika's great. I think her Digimon is great, even though the fan base has, like, completely hyper-omnisexualized that Digimon to death. And it's bad. But they're cute, and they have the other Digimon who nobody owns yet. But it's just, like, a beacon of positivity and niceness. And I think it's episode 5 where he watches a soccer game. I think his name is, like, Palmon or something. But he watches a soccer game at the school, and he goes, like, that seems cool. I want to play, but he can't play with the kids. So when they leave, he takes, like, the chalk writing machine or whatever. You know that, like, thing you push that makes chalk on the floor?
Right.
He takes that in the middle of the night and draws a bunch of things. Like, oh, this is where if you hit cross this line, you have to jump around like a frog. And this is where you have to, like, go backwards 10 spaces. Like, remakes soccer, basically. And then they come back. And the next day after he leaves, and they're like, what the fuck is this nonsense on the ground? Except he accidentally created a pentagon that summoned an evil Digimon. It's so silly. Ugh, I just love the silliness of it. It has no qualms about how dumb it is.
Huh.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, this is fair. This is valid. It's not valid. I don't know. I'm, you know, I'm a big fan. So at some point, it's hard to sell someone on something that you just already like.
And I mean, you know, like, I have no doubt if I'd never seen Pokemon before and I jumped into season 3 of Pokemon now, I'd be like, what the fuck is this trash?
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I've got nostalgia, I've got fond memories, and I've played a bunch of the games, and it's like, oh, hey, I love, Pokemon. You know, I love Pokemon. Pokemon's great. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like... oh, I was gonna make a Digimon reference, but I can't do it.
Huh?
As the dude from the first series has those goggles.
Oh, yep, Ty.
And I was gonna be like, I don't know, just like rose-colored thing.
Ties, rose-colored goggles. There you go. I did
it for you. Well, something. Yeah.
Agumon.
But I just don't. I don't think that I'm capable of seeing this show in the time it came from and the age I would have been.
Sure.
And I don't know that you're capable of seeing this
in a modern context.
Like, as a 2018 person just sort of staring at it with this, like, gross expression on your face.
Well, I definitely saw the part of, like, oh, yeah, they didn't explain enough of this, and they didn't, like, they kind of drop you in weirdly and just kind of roll with it, and they never stop to do that. But I just feel like so much shit from when I was a kid did that. And I always wondered, like, what's the deal with Yu-Gi-Oh? And Yu-Gi-Oh's, the reason Yu-Gi-Oh doesn't explain anything is, like, a whole different story. The dub of Yu-Gi-Oh is the second season. They skipped the whole first season and never dubbed it. But, like, did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yep. There was a whole first season where he, like, goes to school and finds the Millennium Puzzle and all that shit. And then when four kids dubbed it, they were like, they'll figure it out. And, like, you just had to figure out, like, why does he know Joey? Why is Seto Kaiba 16 years old, but he owns a company? I don't fucking know. So, like, I was used to this, and, like, Beyblade just, like, makes no sense other than the setup of, like, yo, these kids fight with tops. You just got used to it back in my damn day. We didn't have lore episodes or explanations for things.
It's fair.
My final note is that I watched one of the episodes in Japanese just to see what it was like, and the main difference is, it's actually interesting, like, the comedy in the dub is very, like, early 2000s America comedy. Like, in that same episode where Palmon, and I'm sorry if I'm getting that name wrong, but when he, like, draws all the chalk stuff in the school, at the end, him and Gilmon play together, and Gilmon, like, digs holes all over the all over the soccer field. And the next day, they go, everyone, like, looks out at the field, and the teachers are like, what the hell happened? And we just get this, like, woman in the far distance that just goes, like, it's a housing project for low-income gophers. And I died. I was like, that's so good. Because no one's talking, so they didn't have to lip-sync to, like, anything accurate. They just threw that in because the dub people were like, I don't know, it's funny. But with the Japanese, they play it very, very straight. The music is completely different. And it's played as much more cool when they digimodify. Like, in English, it's like they go digimodify, and then they swipe a card, and it's like a fun animation. That's cool. But when Rika gives her Digimon, like, armor, in English, she just says, like, armor card. And then in Japanese, she goes, heavy metal, and then, like, swipes it, and it's fucking sick. And you're like, oh, boy. And, yeah, it's a different vibe. But yeah, I'm glad I got you to try it. I think maybe watch the first episode of Digimon Adventure and see if that works better for you. And then if it doesn't, then maybe accept that you're just an old, sad person.
Oh, it's your homework assignment then.
I didn't say that. But it's also, I'm not the person assigning homework.
No, you're not, so I'm not doing it.
Whoa, can you just do a thing as my friend for me, please?
If it doesn't involve Digimon.
If it's not productive and for a podcast, I won't do it.
I can do non-productive things. I'm playing Red Dead Redemption 2 right now.
Oh, sorry to hear that. No, do it.
Yeah. I just, this was like, this was a bad time, Alan. I had a bad time.
Watch one episode of Adventure and tell me you're not enchanted by, I can't remember anyone's name, Sarah.
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. Or Matt.
This is a sign of our friendship because like there, I could name some other friends who, if they asked me this, I would just keep making fun of them.
Uh-huh.
But
so I guess you do like okay. me. I've always assumed you hated me and you're just tolerating me.
I mean, you know, that can be the one of the
No, same. You could have just said, ugh. Anyways, thanks. One out of five. I'll take it. I appreciate it.
Yeah, sorry. I just really hated it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Gang, gang.
Can okay. I give it a zero?
No, you can't give it a zero.
Okay.
You found something to like about it. You're laughing right now. There you go. That's why it's one star.
For sure. Yeah, totally.
I hate this. Get me out of this bit.
Well, let's talk about our deathmatch. Let's move on to something better.
Yeah, I hate this. Get me out of this bit. Let's go to the credits. All right, great. It's betting, rock, paper, scissors, boys and girls and friends and folks.
Hey, Alan, what if we started
skipping
doing
the DM?
It...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, what if we just like tagged it on real quick at the end of the main match and then did homework and then did the outro because the DMs are so bad this season.
So bad. The thing is, if our format works, if the DM is good or remotely interesting, I don't care if it's long. Just give me something. Give me anything. I can't, even when I know the rules of betting rock, paper, scissors, that's like, yes, they're going to go back and forth for a while. They're going to kind of trade wins for a while. And then one of them is going to make a really clutch play. I don't understand why it's a good play because I don't understand the rules fully. Fuck. Everyone is freaking out. Oh, look at that. One of them won by a lot. Good job. I couldn't pay attention to this one, friend. I'm sorry.
I could. It's, I mean, like,
you do, and
to
it's
be honest,
not good.
To be honest, like, it was easy to pay attention to because something happened that mattered, like, even on, like, 1 point, you know, like, 3 times speed, something happened that mattered maybe every couple of minutes. It's just, like, it was just people being, like, it was logic circles, right?
Yeah.
It was like, oh, he's gonna, like, if he wins, then he'll get some things, so obviously I should bet that he's gonna win. But then he knows that, so he's going to lose. But then he knows that, so he's going to win. So he knows that, and it's just like,
yeah.
Okay,
this is going nowhere.
Interesting.
At some point, you just have to guess.
Yeah, this is basically just like a guessing game with like a psychological flavor. Mm-hmm. It's not even relevant psychologically because there's so little information to go on. There are so few factors that you're just like. You're trying to guess what someone else will call on a coin flip.
Basically.
It's garbage.
And to mix it up, well, they pad it out by having it like be a dramatic, very, very slow motion moment every time they flip a card over, and it's like just
sure.
Just,
you know, the genius.
Just go, genius. And then also they try to spice that up in theory by adding AI opponents. And being like, instead of it just being your teammates, it'll also your playmates, it'll also be random what some of them are every third round or whatever. And it's like, yeah, it was basically random before, except now I know it is. Like,
well, it's not random. It's actually the opposite, right? Where it's like, it's like, okay, these two will pick scissors.
Yeah.
These two will pick rock, and it's like, okay. And then combine that with the fact that every player just told the two DM players what they picked, and it's like...
So you know everything.
Right. But, like, okay, so what's the alternative? That this became a game about alliances, and the two people in the DM didn't even matter? Like, I mean, it's just there's no way that this was going to be a good game.
You don't salvage rock, paper, scissors anymore, no. Because even if you shred it down to its basic elements, it's a game of chance. It's a boring game of chance. There's a reason nobody plays rock, paper, scissors for fun. People play it to decide on other things. Because it's just a boring game. Like, the person who... I'm not even, like, complaining about the genius. I'm complaining about the game rock, paper, scissors.
The only way you make rock, paper, scissors a good DM again is if you literally give them a rock, some paper, and scissors, and they can throw the rock at each other.
Yeah. Just get real physical. Or do the shit that...
Don't
no, don't
do
actually
that.
Do that. No, or do the shit that my, like, friends would do in elementary school and add, like, a fourth and fifth element and be like, rocket ship! It just wins. All the time.
Everyone has a different one that just wins.
Yep. There's one that just wins, and then there's one that's, like, I added a fourth one that technically, like, closes the loop, and now it's even more balanced and fun. And it's like, no. It's three for a reason. It's the same reason why tic-tac-toe, no matter how big you make, it can never be won by two people who know what they're doing. It's just, yeah, I was so bored.
Do you want to play Fire Emblem Rock, Paper, Scissors?
Sure.
Sword, Lance, Axe! Sword, Lance, Axe! Sword, Lance, Axe! Just like...
wielding weapons, yeah. Do you want to play Pokemon Rock, Paper, Scissors? Fire, Earth, Ground, Steel, Fairy, Dark...
Ghost.
Ghost, you
Dragon.
Fairy, I did it. Yeah, I got nothing. I'm sorry.
You know what?
What?
I'm gonna make a bold statement. Our challenges in season one were better than the DMs this season.
Some of them were. Certainly some of them were. I like the blackjack one. I like all of our trivia games, but they can't do trivia games on this. Although, what if they could?
Fucking just play Lethal League, for God's sake. Yeah. It'd be better. I know. That wasn't necessary.
If they started playing video games, then the DMs would be ruined, because then they would only play video games, because it's like, well, these are balanced already. We don't have to do anything. That would break the genius.
Having balanced DMs would break the genius?
No, because then they would only play video games, is what I'm saying. They would only play, like, either skill-based or, like, challenge-based video games, and that's it. And then they would have no reason to branch out and make anything. Just make a new game.
Better idea. Just put a different cartridge in that envelope. Just, like, this week you're playing Flip. Like, just make that lean into it.
Yeah.
Like... I don't know. I mean, that's obviously a bad idea, but it's not as bad as the ideas they've had, so I feel okay.
All I got out of this DM was like, yeah, I kind of think Jung Boom is a little bit more fun to watch, so I'm glad he won.
And it seemed like he did a slightly better job of keeping his cool.
Right. This is where a poker face actually matters, not in what they call poker on the Genius. That's not real. What do you think is a good DM? What, like, should they just make a new one, or is there one that they could do again that we would like?
I mean, like, I'm not going to get tired of Gil Hop.
Gil Hop is very good.
Gil Hop is good. I mean, like, they've had... Laser Chess had some pacing issues. They should have edited it a little more.
Yeah, but it's a fun one.
But Laser Chess was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, they've had good DMs before. That's the thing they've done.
And they come up with a brand new, completely unique main match every single week. Y'all can do this.
Yeah.
People have made one versus one games in the past. Just do that again. Alas. So it goes. I didn't even have... I was so out of energy by the end of it that I didn't even pay attention to Jung-hoon's exit speech. Did he say anything interesting in his exit speech?
No.
Bummer. No points for any of us, because he wasn't on our teams anyways.
Yeah. No, the whole experience was kind of a... I don't know. Like, as is happening so often, the last segment of these episodes in Season 3 is just... kind of nothing.
Just the pits.
Yeah.
But alas, you know.
I really am going to be glad for the break we're taking between seasons 3 and 4, because I feel like I want to come back having some time away from the Genius and be like after having watched a season of a different show, if I come back and it's like, and the DM is rock, paper, scissors, it's like, okay, I guess it's been a while. And like, I'm not, you know, excited, but I guess that's fine. But like, now that it's like, oh, okay, rock, paper, scissors again. This is what? The 15th time? In 4 months, I don't want to die. We're good.
I'm good.
Like, it's just the worst. I hate to be a bummer. It's just like...
Yeah. Well, it's boring. It is boring. Like, from minute one when I was watching this show, I was disappointed that the episodes are too long. They still are too long, but I understand why they are. Like, they could always cut down a little bit more, but at some point you're missing part of the game. And, like, the main matches have been fun since minute one. The DMs have been hit or miss since season one. It's not like they used to be good. They used to be perfect, and now they're bad. It's like they've always struggled to come up with these. I think it's just something that I just don't like as much. I love the idea of it. I love the idea of, like, there's a high value on, like, whether or not you send somebody to potentially go home this week. But I've never, like, adored the DM segment, to be honest.
Yeah, it never... I feel like it's always had potential. I mean, like, there were sometimes in season one where it was, like, not very often, but there were a couple where I was like, this is better than the main episode.
That can happen.
Hasn't happened in a long time.
Speaking of things that are good, though, Six, I want to talk about Fantasy Genius with you.
Okay. So, your players did really well.
Thanks.
They did very, very well. So Dongmin earned 36 points, and Hyunmin earned 32.
Wow.
I'm afraid Yeonju didn't earn any, but that doesn't really matter because that's still such a boatload of points that I can't possibly catch up with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yoohyun didn't earn me any. Ah Young earned me 14, and Yongsung earned me 17.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of our fantasy genius section last episode, I announced that I was using a rule inverter.
Mm, you spiced me there.
And I inverted Star in a flashback revealing your successful plan. Hyunmin and Dongmin both got this twice this episode, which gives you minus 24 points instead of plus 24 points. And that, in essence, brings you down, after all the other calculations with co-op points and stuff, you get 22 points and 8 garnets, whereas I get 31 points and 1 garnet.
The system works.
You
did the inverter and it worked.
It worked really well. I'm really glad that, because I saw those points and I was like, oh god, I got destroyed. I used a rule inverter.
I did the destroying, yeah.
And so, I get to, you have a lot of garnets now. I will encourage you to spend some soon. We'll talk about your options off the air. I don't want to waste airtime with that.
Yep.
And if you do and just opt to spend them before the next episode, it'll still take effect. Cause, you know, we both know that neither of us are cheating.
Yeah.
But for homework, I'm going to make you play a video game.
Oh boy.
I'm going to make you play a video game that I just played.
Is it? Okay, what is it?
I want you to play Return of the Oberdin.
Oh, yes! Thank you! Thank you for the good homework! I'm so happy! I was like...
I have to talk to someone about this fucking game.
Yes! I want to talk to you about this game. I've heard amazing things. I loved the demo, like, 8 years ago when it came out. I can't afford to buy this game. We're gonna make it work. I'm gonna play it.
We're gonna make it work. This is a game by Lucas Pope, who is the creator of a game called Papers, Please. I thought Papers, Please was a neat idea, and I was glad it existed, but I wasn't that taken by it, personally. And Return of the Oberdin kind of blew my goddamn mind.
Oh,
Return of the Oberdin is a game where you are playing a, insurance investigator for the East India Trading Company, and you board a vessel called the Oberdin, which disappeared and has suddenly shown up, and your job is to, through the use of a magic pocket watch, figure out what happened to the 60 souls aboard who are now gone.
Do you know what happened to them, where you are at?
I have beaten the game.
Oh.
Twice.
So you... Oh. Why twice?
Because I liked it a lot, so I did it again.
Wow. And it... Okay. All right, cool.
It's really easy to do a second time.
Oh, because you know what you're doing. You're just...
Yeah, because the game is like, okay, what happened? And I'm like, here's what happened. And they're like, okay.
I believe you.
My first playthrough took me 8 hours.
Okay.
I would not be surprised if you didn't beat the game, because obviously you're not required to. But I also wouldn't be surprised if you did, because I played 7.5 hours in one day where I was planning to play for about 15 minutes, and the game just wouldn't let me go. So if you have some free time, and also anyone else out there, this game is like consequence free, right? Like, this isn't a game where you have to be a pro gamer. You don't need like gameplay skills. There's a review out there that refers to it as murder Sudoku. And that's pretty much, yeah, like you just need observation and deductive reasoning, and you can play and beat this game. You can rule at this game, and it's so cool.
I'm thrilled. I'm into it. I was just talking about how I was playing Soma today because we're recording on Halloween, so I wanted to play something spooky, and I was like, I just wish this game wasn't a game. I wish it was just like I walk around and like look at things and learn things.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like Oberdin is basically that.
Yeah, no, Oberdin is what you're looking for.
Excellent.
But until next time, Alan, what do we say? Welcome to the Plug Zone.
Well, I was so confused. How did you find a brand new reason to confuse me? Goddamn.
It's a talent. Alan, plug your things, please.
Well, I am on another podcast called Chats, a television podcast, where my friend Magellan and I talk about TV shows. And we are currently about 2 weeks away from finishing Babylon 5 Season 1. Speaking of wild shows with wild plot twists, gotta check that out wherever you listen to podcasts. And also, I like to think that our podcast is pretty funny, just like this one, but even more like improvisational, and like we do character voices and bits. It's like a nice time. So peep that, please.
Excellent. I want to shout out real quick to Reese and to Shane of the Genius Online community, because they're people I talk to a lot about the Genius, and also some of the fun facts I sometimes espouse are from them. And it's just nice to have people in the Genius community that we can keep in touch with. But as far as my works, I will shout out my Twitter, which is @6detmar on Twitter. On there, you can find a pinned tweet which has all my work on it, including Neutral Game, Fighting Game Podcast, Oops All Anime, Patron Only Anime Podcast. You know, the stuff that I do. Maybe someday soon, including a podcast about a game of Subterfuge that is being played.
Oh God, it's consumed my life. It hasn't even been 24 hours.
It really feels like it's been a couple of days. Uh-huh. Oh boy. But until next time, folks, peace out.
I would give my world to lift you up. I could change my life to better suit your mood, because you're so smooth.
So smooth, Yoda.
No!